to be in the house of the Lord today and be with you in the services today. Again, as I mentioned earlier, all the work that's gone into it. And now we come to the final service of this special Resurrection Celebration Day. Brother Chris Lewis has been so faithful and worked so hard here for these years. And we're very glad to have him here to have him bring on this.
Thank you. Privileged to have the opportunity, but I think I wore everybody out, but it's okay. So I want to try to keep you awake. I think. Lord, help us out. Take your Bibles, go to John chapter 20. John chapter 20. I will do you a favor. You don't have to worry about page turning. So, or maybe I should page turn so that way we can keep ourselves where I don't know. But it's been a good day. It's been a blessed day. It's been a full day. Some of you have been here since 6 o'clock this morning and then come back again after all the stuff going on with the sunrise, the breakfast, the Easter egg hunt. That was fun to watch those kids take off, even with having a megaphone. It was fun. And then having the Sunday school classes and morning service and all that stuff and seeing just the genuine excitement. And especially in the young people, I think I get the better end of the deal. I think. So I get the young people on Easter Sunday. There's just so much energy there. I think it's because of the camp, but it's okay. But I think you get better in the deal. But anyway, it's just a joy to be able to have the opportunity to preach in front of the church tonight here. Those viewing by way of Facebook also. Maybe that's where everybody else is there relaxing. Who knows? But at least if they're tuning in or hearing some good sound preaching of the Word of God, I hope. But John chapter 20, we're going to be looking at the final part of this chapter here, verses 19 to 31. But let me take your attention just this evening to verse 24. John chapter 19 and verse 24 says this, "But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. And the other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I see in his hands the print of the nails, and I thrust my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe." This evening we're going to look at the topic here, when Jesus comes again. There are three times that Jesus came again. Two of them we're going to see in the scriptures here. The third one is something that's coming soon. One of the reasons why we sang some of the songs that we sang this evening. But let's pray and let's give this time to the Lord. Father, I pray that you just be with us here this evening. Thank you for the opportunity that we have just to be here tonight. I pray that you would just be with us here in this room. For those viewing by way of Facebook Live or later by YouTube, and as they hear the words and the message this evening, this Easter Sunday evening, how we celebrate your resurrection, Father, may we just be refocused and refresh thereby and help us just to be able to have a better appreciation for the reason why we're here. If it wasn't for you rising from the dead, there's no reason to have church. But because you did and you fulfilled your promises, that's the reason why we can celebrate this day, the reason why we do have hope. Father, there's someone in this room who doesn't have hope, maybe here in the auditorium or viewing that today, that they would just open their heart and come to trust you as their Savior. In a very simple yet powerful way. And for those who have, may we just increase our faith this evening and may we just be able to gain more just through your word tonight. Help me as I speak to just speak the words that you would have and that it would be clear, it would be plain and simple. And we ask these things here in Jesus' name. Amen. We know the narrative that comes into this most likely for now. We're quickly refreshing. Beginning of the chapter talks about Jesus resurrecting from the dead. The two ladies come to him, they come to the grave, find out that he's not here. He is risen. And then he goes, and in this chapter specifically, Peter and John, they run to check and make sure because they didn't believe the ladies. They should have, but oh well, that stuff happens today. But they didn't believe them. They go, they find out, oh yeah, it's not there. He's not there. And a couple of years ago, we preached on verse 7 of this passage about the napkin being folded, how Jesus was telling his disciples, my work's not done yet. And now we continue into later on. Mary sees Jesus, and after that, he tells the ladies to go tell the disciples, I'm coming to them again. I'm coming to them this evening. So tonight, through the message here, I submit to us that he did came of God. He came again to the faithless to help them believe who he truly is. He is their Savior. First of all, we're going to look at the 10. Let's look at verses 19 to 23. First, Jesus came again to the 10. Verse 19. And why do I say faithless? Well, let's look at verse 19 to begin with. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, Sunday, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews. They were still afraid. Why? Well, just a few days ago, Jesus was arrested. He was crucified. They all forsook him and fled. And at that point, even if Jesus was resurrected, there were still people throwing around false theories. In Matthew chapter 28, verses 11 to 15, the Romans, they were saying, oh, Jesus is gone. The tomb has been raided. And essentially, they agreed to say, oh, yeah, Jesus' body was stolen. And that's what they say up until this day. They don't believe it, but it truly did happen. You go to Jesus' tomb today, you won't find his body there. You go to some of the other ones, you go to Muhammad, his bones are still there. You go to Krishna, their bones are still there. You go to Confucius, his bones are still there. You go to the leader of Buddha, his bones are still there. The leader of Taoism, his bones are still there. But you go to Jesus, and there's nothing there. Why? Well, the Bible says he is risen. And there is evidence of that. Just a few years ago, on one of the boxes, it said James, I'm trying to remember phrasing here, but basically James this and this and this, but the brother of Jesus. Normally they'll put brothers' names on boxes, phone boxes, unless it has some significance. But here, the significance here would have been James, the brother of Jesus. Jesus probably has some pretty interesting significance there. What did you think, son? So, they were assembled, but for fear, they kind of kept themselves hidden. But as that takes place, though, Jesus, verse 19, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, peace be unto you. You think they needed peace? I think so. They were so scared. They were so wondering if this was actually true or not. Then Jesus knew exactly. Have you ever noticed that Jesus always knows the need that you need before you even realize it yourself? Sometimes you wonder, where is this going to come? How is this going to happen? How is this going to take place? How is this all going to unfold together? But Jesus knows, and he knew their need, and he knew that they were fearful. He knew that they were kind of troubled in their faith. So the first thing he says is, peace be unto you. And so much so that he continues on. Verse 20, when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side, just to make sure, to erase all doubts. He proved himself. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Once they saw it, though, they saw him. That's interesting to note. I mean, four people went to see the tomb. Two of them were disciples. They didn't see his body, but they weren't really sure about it. But once they actually were able to touch him and see it, then they realized, oh yeah, this is that Jesus that we just saw die on the cross a few days ago. 21, then said Jesus unto them again, peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. Now he gives them a mission. Verse 23-22, and when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. Remitted here has a idea to send forth or to lay aside. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. Jesus essentially starts giving them the Great Commission, which would be explained more so in Acts chapter 1. But here, he's just saying, hey, I'm here. The word of God is true. Now you need to go spread it. But then we get back to 24. First of all, Jesus came again to see the 10, but they were 11. Well, originally they were 12, but one of them hung himself. Judas is here after he betrayed Jesus. But then there's 10, so there's one missing. And that one missing was in verse number 24. Secondly, Jesus comes again to see Thomas. Verse 24, but Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. Why? 25, the other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. You know, today our society has evolved into a see-it-to-believe-it society. There ain't no way that's true. Prove it to me. Prove whatever it is there. There's plenty of proof of creation. There's plenty of proof out there of Jesus. There's plenty of proof of miracles. Miracles still work today in situations. Now, we're not going to see miracles like in the Bible time where water comes out of the rock. We're probably not going to see a miracle where someone or manna falls out of heaven. Wouldn't it be nice to be fed from the sky every day? We're not going to see those kind of things. We're not going to see fire come down from heaven and consume a sacrifice and consume water and lick the water up and take it with it. But there's still evidence that Jesus and God, they're still there for us. But here he says, unless if I actually see it, I won't believe. So, 26, after 8 days again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, and the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, peace be unto you. Jesus has a sense of humor. I really wish I was around during this time frame. There's a lot of time frames I wish I could be around. But here, just seeing their reaction, of course Jesus is God. But he says this in 27. He knew exactly what Thomas wanted. 27, then saith he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side. What did Thomas say? Verse 25, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. Jesus, 27, reach hither thy finger, behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side. And then he flips the sentence at the very end. Thomas said, I will not believe. And then in 27, Jesus says, and be not faithless, but believing. Jesus knew what Thomas needed. Jesus knew that Thomas needed to believe. He needed to show Thomas, hey, I am real. This isn't a hallucination. I wasn't stolen away. That's what some people think. Some people think that all these people, the disciples, the 500, saw a hallucination, saw a mirage. Or, oh, they went to the wrong tomb. They just went to a different tomb. They can't read, they were illiterate. They went to the wrong Jesus tomb. Well, first of all, Jesus was in a borrowed tomb. So Jesus' name would have not necessarily been on there. It would have been Joseph. But again, this is people trying to disprove Christianity. Or, oh, they stole the body away. Well, how could they steal the body away if there were two Roman soldiers there guarding it 24 hours a day for those 3 or 4 days that they were there until they were so shocked because they heard the hurricane? the earthquake, and then they fell down as dead men when they saw the angel. Because the stone had been rolled back. They couldn't go in there and steal it because there were people guarding it. So we knew Thomas's need here was to not be faithless, but believing. So now he understands that. How? Verse 28. Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God. When he came again to Thomas, he went from faithless to faithful. He went to believing. When he went to the ten, he went to help their fear and help them be able to have peace. But thirdly, before I even continue on, I fail to go to 29. For Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me and thou hast believed, blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. That would be you and I. Have we seen Jesus physically in the flesh? But this is something that reaches out to us because we believe. 1 John chapter 4, verse number 12 says this. Now this is talking about God here, but it balances in with what Jesus just said. 1 John 4, verse 12. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Although we haven't seen God, God is real because his love, his Holy Spirit, comes within us at the point of salvation. And then we have, even in verse 20, I guess it's kind of more of an application. But if any man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? We haven't seen God. Jesus says here in John chapter 20, verse 29, blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. Thomas needed to believe, and he did. So when Jesus came again, first he came to these 10 disciples. He came to Thomas. But finally, verses 30 and 31, to everyone else, to the world. Verse 30, and many other things, signs, truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that ye might believe. Sometimes in our Christian walk, we can have this doubt sometimes that creeps in. We can have this doubt that, is this truly real? Maybe it's because we haven't seen any fruit. Maybe we just haven't seen things going. And because of that, we wonder sometimes whether God truly is who he says he is. Whether God is who he says he was. Oh yeah, he said he would come for me, but yet I'm going through this, I'm going through that. Maybe it's God trying to test us to see how much we will actually trust him. It says, truly these things are, verse 31, but these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. Jesus did things to show himself to others. We have 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and 1 Corinthians 15. I believe this was probably highlighted this morning at the sunrise service, just based upon the title that I read. But verse 5, 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 5, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. Then after that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that he was seen of James, then also of the apostles. And last of all he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time, go to Galatians chapter 1, and he'll explain that reasoning why toward the end of that chapter. For I am the least of the apostles, verse 9, that I am not need to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Therefore, whether it be I or they, so we preach, and so ye believe. Jesus is coming again. When will Jesus come again? Well, the next time Jesus will come again to the world is the event that we know as the rapture. You won't find that term in your Bible, but the Greek word is raptura, which is catching away, gathering together. That's the next time Jesus is going to come into this world again to call us out. We were singing the song, Jesus is coming again. Whether it be morning, night, or noon, when we see Christ, all fears will be erased. I want, as we finish and as we conclude this evening, Jesus is indeed coming again. Are we ready for the trumpet sound? The dead in Christ shall rise, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him to be in the clouds. So shall we ever be with the Lord. If we're ready, we should be. We always should be ready because Jesus' return is imminent. Let's share with others and let's get them ready too. I want to share with you to conclude the lyrics. This is the song that was just played for the offertory, but the title of the song is The Midnight Cry, which is, as I was listening to this a few days ago, it helped me come across how to title the message this evening, but also being able to see just the different things. The song title is The Midnight Cry. Just want you to hear the lyrics. I'm not just going to sing them. But it says this, I hear the sound of a mighty rushing wind, and it's closer now than it's ever been. I can almost hear the trumpet as Gabriel sounds the call. At the midnight cry, we'll be going home. I look around me, I see prophecies fulfilled, and signs of the times, they're appearing everywhere. I can almost hear the Father as he says, Son, get your children. And at the midnight cry, the bride of Christ will rise. When Jesus steps out on a cloud to call his children, the dead in Christ shall rise to meet him in the air. And then those that remain shall be quickly changed at the midnight cry when Jesus comes again. Jesus is coming again. Are we ready? I know it's been a long day for a lot of us. I know it's been a fun day. It's been a day that we've been able to really, truly understand what God wants for us. But as we leave this evening, and as we go home, as we, those viewing by way live, or will view later on, where's our call? Where's our belief? Is it still fully trusted in God, or has something wavered? Thomas had a doubt. It's common, but it's quickly changed. When Jesus came again, he came to the tent to help give them peace. He came to Thomas to help him believe, to have faith. He's coming to the world to bring us home. Will we be ready? And if so, how many others are not ready that we need to share the word of God with? Father, we come to you in prayer. We just thank you for the opportunity that we have just to be able to look at your word this evening. Father, I pray that you would just help us to examine ourselves as we just look at, it seems overwhelming. It seems like there's just so much going on that people just are trying their best to take you out of things, and take Jesus out of basics and necessities of our life. But Father, I pray that may we not fall under that pressure, but that we would rise up to it, that we would be strong with it because of our faith, knowing that we ought to believe because we know that you are who you say you are, and you fulfilled your promise of Jesus coming to this world to die for us, and because of that, and because he rose again, that we can have everlasting life, that we can have an eternal home in heaven if we trust you. Father, if there's someone in this room or someone watching that has never asked you to be their Savior, I pray, Father, that they would be able to trust you and to be able to say, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me for what I've done. No, I'm a sinner, but Jesus, pray that I would believe that you would take away my sins, that you give me everlasting life. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And for those who do believe, how strong is it? Maybe it needs to be encouraged tonight. Maybe it needs to be reaffirmed tonight. Father, bless and move in this invitation time. Move in hearts, move in souls, and that we would just ultimately see where we are in our relationship with you. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.